I'd like to begin this morning with a passage of Scripture in John chapter 13 and verse 17. Our Lord Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room, after he had instituted the Lord's Supper and the washing of the saints' feet, he said, "If ye know these things, happy are ye." That's not all he said. He said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." It's not in the knowing, but in the doing that we receive such great blessings in his kingdom. It's wonderful to know these things. But to know them and not do them would be disobedience. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Beloved, when we read the Word of God or when we hear the Word of God preached, we need to make it personal. I remember when I was a kid, I heard an illustration some preacher used. He said a lot of people take pitchforks with them to church. And when they hear something, some kind of duty or something we should be doing in the service of the Lord, they just pitch it over to their brother or sister next to them. But that's really not how we're to receive the Word of God. We are to take it personally and realize how it helps us. We need to take it home with us. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, "If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." And we can teach people. Jesus was teaching his disciples. You and I can and should be teaching our children, our grandchildren. We can teach our neighbors. But beloved, we can't take the truth and do it for others. They have to do it themselves. And so Jesus said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." The truth is, you and I can't change anybody. We can teach people by word or by example, and we should, but we can't change anyone. But we have a big job trying to change ourselves, trying to improve ourselves. So Jesus is telling us to take it home with us, to take it personal. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now the subject that is on my mind this morning is the subject of prayer. And I want to turn with you now to Luke's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 1. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, we read, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." These disciples of Jesus were so impressed with his prayer life that they asked him to teach them how to pray. And it's interesting. I have never found in Scripture where they ask him to teach them to preach or to sing. But when they heard him praying, his prayers were so moving, so effectual. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so he gives them a model or a pattern of prayer. It's often referred to as the Lord's Prayer, but I think it would be better described as the sinner's prayer. Because in the prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our sins." Now, Jesus didn't have any sins. Have you all ever found in Scripture where Jesus asked the Father to forgive him? He didn't have any sin. So it's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is recorded for us in John chapter 17, where Jesus is praying all night, and it is often referred to as his high priestly prayer. Jesus was our great high priest, and he spent all night praying to the Father before his offering for sin on the cross. So here in Luke chapter 11, we have a model or a pattern that Jesus gives us to follow. And I don't think he's saying that we're to memorize it and repeat this all the time, but it is a good model for us to follow, a pattern. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive one another that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And in Matthew's account, he ends it by saying, For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Aren't you glad when we're praying to one who has the kingdom, and the power, and the glory? We're praying to one who can not only hear our prayers, but answer our prayers. Now, prayer is really simple. I don't think prayer is very complicated. Prayer is basically talking to our Heavenly Father. And notice how Jesus addresses God. He teaches us to pray, Our Father. God is in Scripture called the Creator. He's called the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's given many names in Scripture, but the most enduring name that our God has is Our Father. At the center of this universe is a being who is eternal and is called in Scripture Our Father. What does that mean to y'all this morning? I want y'all to take that home with you, that God is your Father. You didn't have anything to do with being his child, but by his grace, you are his child, and you need to understand and remember that God is our Father. And I love that plural pronoun, our. He's your Father just as much as he is my Father. He's just as much our Father as he was the Apostle Paul's Father. Do y'all understand that today? He's your Father. And you need to address him in that way. Our Father which art in heaven. Prayer is simple because it's just a matter of talking to your Father. Now, when we were children and we were disobedient to our Father, sometimes we shun them. But you know, when you're on a good relationship with your dad, and your dad is a loving, kind, compassionate, caring, faithful Father, you can just talk to him. Well, I want to tell you, your God in heaven is a wonderful Father. He's a loving Father. He's a caring Father. He's a forgiving Father. And I want you all to feel free to just talk to him. Are y'all with me? It doesn't take a great education. It doesn't take any fancy vocabulary. Just talk to him. Just approach him with reverence and with humility. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That word hallowed is a word we don't hear much in our daily conversation now. Have y'all heard anybody use the word hallowed lately? Just in ordinary conversation? Probably not. But it's a beautiful word, and basically it means to show honor to God. We honor him. His name is above every name. Holy and reverend is whose name? His name. He has a name which is above every name, and you and I should never take his name in vain or use it carelessly. So Jesus is teaching us a simple way to pray to our Heavenly Father, and we approach Him with great honor. Now, prayer is simple, but that doesn't mean it's easy. Let me tell you, prayer can be hard work. Because Satan is always trying to interfere with our prayer life. Have y'all noticed that? The world around us doesn't want us praying to God, and our flesh certainly doesn't. Our flesh is carnal and worldly and cares nothing for talking to our Heavenly Father. I have said this, it's a lot easier to preach 30 minutes than it is to pray 30 minutes. I'm talking to y'all, and if I know a little about the Word of God, I can get up here, and with His help, I can preach the Word. But to go somewhere alone and spend 30 minutes concentrating on God, keeping my mind focused, that is hard work. In our day, the telephone will interrupt prayer. Have y'all noticed that? Sometimes when you're trying your best to get along with God, the telephone keeps ringing. I was somewhere the other day and my phone rang and the person with me said, "You don't need to answer that. The only important people in your life are already here." That was my oldest daughter, by the way. But the truth is, your telephone will ring at the most inappropriate time. Have y'all noticed that? Somebody said back when before you had cell phones or cordless phones, they said the bathtub was invented like 100 years before the telephone. And just think, you could have sat in the bathtub 100 years without the phone ringing. Any in the house remember those old landline phones attached to the wall? It would ring and you had to quit whatever you were doing and run. And when we were kids, we all wanted to be first to answer the phone. It was exciting to answer the phone. Of course, we were on a party line when I was a kid. And I remember when we didn't have a phone. But you know, phones are wonderful, but they can really interrupt your life. They can take up a lot of your time, especially these smartphones, when people are on all kinds of social media. And let me tell you, my friends, when you're trying to pray to God, somehow Satan has a way of trying to interrupt our prayer life through the telephone. You know, you're down trying to pray and you get that beep. And you wonder, who is that? Can you ignore a beep? It's kind of hard, isn't it? The best thing to do is to turn it off. It does have an off button on it. You know, the best thing on a television is that off button. I want to tell you, when you and I are praying to God, Satan, listen now, I want y'all to take this home with you. When you are fervently, seriously praying to God, Satan gets nervous. Because he knows you're reaching out to a power that he has no control over. Satan never gets nervous when we're watching television. Matter of fact, he's happy when we're watching television. But I want to tell you, when you're trying to pray, it's simple, but it's not easy. It's hard to keep your mind stayed on what you're praying on. The doorbell will ring. Or your mind will drift. Y'all ever have that problem? I'll be trying to pray to my Heavenly Father and these crazy thoughts come from nowhere and interfere. And it's hard, beloved, to pray. It's simple. It's just a conversation with your Heavenly Father. But I can tell you, you have many things trying to oppose us in this life. You know, I was trying to pray the other day and all of a sudden I got real hungry. Now that was the devil, I imagine. And I thought, I need to go get something to eat. No. Let me tell you, Jesus said, He said, man shall not live by bread alone. He knows we need bread for these bodies. You gotta have it. But not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oh, how we need to spend time in our Heavenly Father's presence, praying to Him and calling on Him. Yes, sir? Satan is never upset when we're watching TV or if we're gossiping. You know, Satan doesn't mind you gossiping. Did y'all know that? Somebody sent me a text the other day and it had a t-shirt on it. And he said, remember me in your prayers as much as you do in your gossip. How many of y'all ever talk about anybody behind their back that you would never say to their face? I tell you, I was convicted about that years ago. And let me tell you, by God's grace, I have tried my best not to say things about people that I wouldn't say to them. Now that's hard, but Satan loves for us to gossip. Now I know we can excuse our gossip by saying, I'm not gossiping, I'm just sharing information. No, you're gossiping. Satan never gets upset when we're gossiping. As a matter of fact, he'll encourage us in that. But you and I need to be giving ourselves to prayer. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Father which art in heaven. And I've got some wonderful news for all of us this morning. Our Heavenly Father is not getting old. He doesn't have birthdays. Nelda and I were invited to my brother Dan's birthday today. You know, he was an April Fool baby. And he's 80 years old today. Sadly, Nelda wasn't feeling up to going, but I'm going. And I got him a birthday card, and it was for a friend. And I said, Dan, I'm glad you're my brother. But you've been a wonderful friend to me all these years. But Dan's old. 80 years. I remember when that was ancient. Now, Franklin's here this morning, and he's even older than that, but I'm right behind him. And let me tell you, age takes its toll on us. Oh, y'all, these kids don't get that, but a lot of us do. I sent Brother Ronnie a text this week looking for mercy and kindness, didn't get a bit from him. I think, you know, it was about old age and all of its challenges. Brother, it has them now, I'm telling you. But let me tell you, our God is not getting old. He's in eternity. He doesn't have birthdays. He's not getting feeble. He's not getting absent-minded. He doesn't have dementia. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, when you look up into the sun and see that beautiful light in the sky, you need to remember that's the same sun that Adam and Eve saw in the morning of time. Did you know that? It's the same sun. God, it hadn't wore out and God had to replace it. And He doesn't send astronomers or astronauts up there to fix it. And the moon and the stars that you and I see, all of those are the very stars and moon that Adam and Eve saw in the morning of time. They're not aging in a way. Well, the Bible does say that the creation is wearing out like an old garment. Did you know that? This planet that we're on is, I think, 6,000 years old. It's getting old and weary. That's right, the creation. Paul said in Hebrews, let's just turn and look at that a moment. Over in the book of Hebrews, Paul would talk about the aging of the planet. He would say in chapter 1 of Hebrews, and let's look at verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall what? Perish. But thou remainest. And they shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. God is not like the clothes we're wearing this morning. The earth is. The earth is like our clothes. It's wearing out like a garment, and someday it will perish. But God remains. And I want to tell y'all this morning, it brings joy to my soul to think that my heavenly Father is eternal. He's not getting old. He's not wearing out. Our Father, He is from everlasting to everlasting. And then Jesus teaches us to pray, Thy will be done. How many of us this morning are genuinely willing to trust God enough to say, Father, not my will, but thy will be done? Let me tell you, you don't know what God's will is. I don't know what God's will is for the future. I don't know. But I know one thing, He's God and He's perfect. And I'm safe praying, thy will be done. Not mine, but thine. Our Savior, in His human body, came to this earth, and He went to Gethsemane the night before He died, and He was facing the cup of suffering like you and I could never comprehend. What He was going to experience the next day for 6 hours was beyond human comprehension. What the Romans did to Him on that cross was awful, but they were doing the same thing to the two thieves that they were doing to Jesus. But what Jesus was going to go through on that cross to save us was not the beating the Romans gave Him. No, sir, it wasn't the nails. It wasn't any of that. It was what God the Father was going to do to Him. When He unsheathed the sword of divine judgment, and God the Father is going to punish this man in 6 hours, and He's going to experience in 6 hours what the entire elect family would have experienced for all eternity. Now, how could God compress eternal suffering into 6 hours and put it on His Son? Not just for Sam Bryan, but for everybody in the house today, and for His billions of children around the world. How could that be? I don't know. I tell you something else I don't know. It's a mystery. How the eternal God could come to earth and take up residence in a human body. You understand that? The incarnation of Jesus Christ is beyond us. Paul said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. That mystery equals the mystery of the resurrection. And in that body that was given to Him, He's going to go to Calvary, and He's going to suffer in 6 hours what you and I would have suffered for all eternity. And Jesus looking into that cup and seeing the worst part of it all was going to be the Father was going to abandon Him, walk away from Him, and leave Him alone. Because on the cross, one of the 7 sayings of Jesus was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, you and I will never be able to say that because He doesn't forsake us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But His Son, are y'all with me this morning? Are y'all still listening? Do you see Him up there on that cross? Is it any wonder in Gethsemane's dark night He would say, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I don't know what my future holds, but I'm praying God's will be done. And Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then he teaches us to pray for our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, how many of y'all would love to have enough food stored up for 10 years? I tell you, we're living in a troubled world. And we've all just about become dependent on grocery stores and wholesale companies. How many of y'all are growing all the food that you eat? I bet you most of you don't even have chickens. Brother bought me a dozen eggs this week that he has chickens. How many of y'all depend on the grocery store for everything you eat, just about? Did you know that could all be disrupted very quickly? And I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I'm telling you, God is still on his throne and he has judged nations through famines. So Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, not our daily cake, our ice cream, our daily bread, our necessities. And I'm glad to tell you all this morning, no matter what the future holds, you can go to your Heavenly Father and say, Father, give my family something to eat today. May the good Lord bless as we consider the rest of this. He teaches us to forgive one another as God has forgiven us. How many of y'all are good at forgiving? How many of y'all are good at holding on to a hurt feeling? Just nourish it, hold on to it, enjoy it, feel sorry for yourself, be a victim. How many of y'all are good at that? Human beings are good at being victims. I want to tell you, when life gets hard for us, instead of being victims, why don't we be students and learn from what we're going through? Can I get a witness? Anybody in the house? Learn from your troubles and your trials. Be a student and learn. And learn to forgive people. Just quickly forgive. Just as God, for Jesus' sake, forgives us. And then he prays, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Beloved, prayer is not your shopping list. Prayer involves a lot of things. Prayer involves fellowship with your Heavenly Father, communing with him on a daily basis. It involves giving thanks. Brother Daniel, in his prayer this morning, just kept thanking God for his blessings. That's a big part of prayer. Confessing sin, that's a part of prayer. How many of y'all ever have to just go and say, Father, I have sinned? I'm glad to tell you, he's forgiving. And we ought to be forgiving. May God bless this message today. And may we take it home with us, please. And may we all be more given to prayer. Because I want to tell you, beloved, our country is in serious, serious trouble. A friend of mine who is extremely knowledgeable, as knowledgeable about world events as any friend that I have, he's 88 years old. He called me this week. He said, Brother Sam, I believe our country is facing more danger than it has since 1939. That was on the very edge of World War II. You know, we're not to live in fear. That's not. The Bible teaches us to fear not. And you know the only way not to fear in this troubled country? Pray. You know, it's hard to pray and fear at the same time. Try it. When you're down there praying to the God of the universe, just try to worry. Just cast all your cares on him. He'll care for you. He can take care of America. What do y'all believe? We've got big enemies now. We've got dangerous enemies. The old red dragon, China. I remember one of the great European soldiers of the past. I can't think of his name right now, but he said when China wakes up, When that old dragon wakes up, the world will tremble. Well, I want to tell you, China is awake. And they're atheist. And they don't care for us. Now, we're their best customer. How much stuff in your house came from China? They say about 90% of it. But you and I live in a dangerous world. But we've got a heavenly Father. Are y'all with me today? I hope y'all leave here today remembering to give yourselves to prayer. Thank you all for your good attention.